Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Calling through the faraway towns. Now war is declared.
Thank you, Ryan. It's 11:08 in the morning, 720 WGN. Andrea Darlis and Frank Fontana in for Bill and Wendy. We're here with you until noon in the noon business hour. And then we'll be with you on the stream from noon to 1, WGNradio.com.
That's right. And we're talking about, in the stream, we're going to be talking about how much of the internet is fake.
Yeah.
And I'm not
talking
about
a lot of it that's fake.
Oh, it's not.
You're not talking fake news.
No, I'm not talking fake news. I'm not even talking about what we're about to talk about here with, you know, social media envy. I'm talking about big advertisers spending big money and getting the wool pulled over their eyes.
Right.
With all these fake, you know, bots and all this kind of stuff.
And you bring up fake bots, fake email addresses.
Yep.
You know, if you wanted to go get Frank, well, I know you have your own website, frankfontana.net.
Yep.
But is frankfontana.com taken? Or
it
dot,
is.
Or,
a see? Jazz singer in New York.
See?
I tried to get it from him. He will not give it up.
No kidding. I tried to open another email because I have a couple of different email accounts, but I just wanted one that didn't have my name. Any variation of your name is taken. And I'm thinking, who has, you know, any variation of my name? You know, why can I only get Andrea Darlis, you know, 7 at Yahoo or Gmail or whatever I'm trying to do? Who has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Did you ever Google who has your name?
No. Can you do that?
Sure, you can.
And can you talk to someone at Google, at Gmail?
Because really.
I Googled, who can I talk to at Google? And they just sent me to the website, and, and it's all
same
internet.
Thing with Facebook, same thing with Instagram.
Talk to somebody.
You can't talk to anybody on social. Like, these days, there's a giant technical wall they put up, and it's so baloney, because you really at times want to, like, hey, why did you kick me off here? What did I do? What did I post wrong? And, like, especially if you're doing, like, Facebook advertising. Like,
boost your post kind of thing?
Yeah, and if one thing is out of line from their algorithm, they won't let you post it. And I fought this fight, and I'm, like, trying to get a hold of somebody. I'm like, why? What did I say? I'm not being controversial. I'm not selling anything hard. I'm just promoting an ad.
Okay, now, on the flip side of that, I see things on there, you know, for news. You know, someone will take a video, and this drives me crazy in this era of social media. Someone will take a video. We're out shooting a story, say, for Channel 9. Someone's taking a video. That could get posted, and this person is commenting, you know, and the police come, and they're trying to do their job, and they're trying to, you know, they're under all kinds of scrutiny these days as well. So they're trying to do everything right, and everybody's video recording them, and that gets posted. And I don't understand. You know,
video recording the reporter?
Yeah, either video recording the reporter. I have so many times I'll be out and people are recording me or recording the police.
Yeah.
And they're giving their own narrative, like, this person just did this. But they didn't. You know, they're giving their own narrative, yet that gets posted and misinterpreted so many times for news.
Sure. I just read an article about this where there was actually a startup operation that was all these indie news people that were self-proclaimed newsies that would do exactly what you're saying. They'd go to an incident site or just happen to be there, they pop on their phone and be like, hey, it's Joe recording live from this, you know, corner of blah blah blah, and this just went down, a big accident, and here's the, you know, the details.
Right.
Well, apparently that it grew, and then it staled, it leveled, and now the company's being sold, I think, or being disassembled.
See, and that's so frustrating to me, because there are rules. You know, when we shoot video or when we're doing podcasts and whatnot, there are rules that you have to follow before you post something. Hence, that's why sometimes, you know, something will pop up and you're saying, what did I do that was wrong? Yeah. Whereas if I'm just a person on the street and I want to post something on my Facebook page, you know, when I say rules, meaning, you know, if there's a juvenile, you're not supposed to show their face, or children, we won't show children if they're involved.
Or fact-checking. How about that?
Exactly. But now, anything could be posted. And I do feel sorry for law enforcement, because they're at a scene, they're trying to do their job, and the first thing everybody does is whip out their cameras.
Interesting, right? It's similar to we were talking about during the break here, that, you know, us in the radio industry, you know, I came from podcasting. My world started in broadcast, in TV before that.
Uh-huh.
But I had the opportunity in radio to be one of the first, you know, podcasters in the home improvement space, and had a great show, had 15 million downloads before anybody was getting downloads on podcasts.
Yeah.
We were killing it. And then I transitioned into traditional radio and left podcasting kind of as a sidebar for me. And I still did my own little, you know, mini podcast shows like The Human Renovation Project and, you know, 6 and 60 and all these different spinoffs I did of my baseline, which is here at WGN Radio.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I hear so many people bashing traditional radio, traditional, you know, talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
For me, in my opinion, it's actually there's a revival happening thanks to podcasting.
Yes.
Right? I believe that podcasting is talk radio, mm-hmm. but on the internet, right? That's really what it is.
Right.
And we are the birth of it here at, you know, especially like at WGN, this iconic, you know, sure. multi-generational radio station who's built, you know, careers and icons in talk radio for centuries. It's all coming back. It's 360.
It's like full circle.
It's full circle.
It is.
I'm so proud and honored to be a traditional talk radio host and dabble in the new, you know, radio,
right.
the podcast world. But podcasting is making talk radio cool again, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Oh, I agree.
And you will see a resurgence in stations like WGN Radio and other talk stations because of the popularity of podcasts.
Right. Yesterday, we did, Elton Jim was in with me for Bill and Wendy, and we went on the stream, and within 2 minutes, that's all it took for our engineer to run from this room into the next room, basically flip the switch, you know, in non-radio speak, flip the switch, and people were already texting and saying, hey, where's the stream? You know, so people are at work.
Well, on-demand consumption.
At home.
Yeah.
On-demand consumption, absolutely. And my mom, who I won't give her age, you know, she's over 70, I'll just say, loves podcasts. She will have WGN on usually when she wakes up and then until she leaves the house. Then she has her podcasts. So if she's not listening in the car to the radio, she's listening to her podcast.
Yep.
So I think it's multi-generational.
Totally. I agree with you 100%. And like I said, I think it's all 360. It's coming around. You're not going to see this station or many other talk radio stations go away. I mean, with that said, the caveat is you got to have good talent. You got to have great, you know, topics, whether you're on podcasting or traditional radio.
Yep.
You know, I just believe our bandwidth is greater, period, because we have access to the internet. All these shows, our show gets podcasted as soon as we're done.
Right.
It's uploaded.
Yep.
Then we also have the bandwidth of WGN's broadcast. We're all over.
We are all over.
So we're just better. That's
right. 312-981-7200 is our number if you want to text us or call us, and we'll try to get to all your calls and all your texts as well. But we brought this up, Frank, because we were talking a little bit about social media envy or social envy.
Yeah, social envy.
You know, and we started talking about this with Ryan a little bit earlier, too. Just you see something online, is it too much? You know, are we getting to a point of where, you know, you can't do, say you wanted to leave here and go have breakfast with someone and you posted a picture. I see the picture and I think, oh, how come Frank didn't ask me to go?
Sure.
Are we becoming too invasive and intrusive when it comes to what we're seeing and viewing on social media?
That's a good question. 312-981-7200. We want to hear from you guys. My opinion on the matter is, I don't know, like for me and what we do as personalities and journalists, we almost have an obligation to post and let people know, like, hey, we're going on the air,
yes.
or hey, we just heard this great story or this bit of information. I'm not one that's excessively posting. I will do mindset motivation and self-care. Like, that to me is super important because it's value. It's value-driven. But do you really want to see me taking a crap? Do you really want to see me eating donuts? You know what I mean? Like, maybe some people would. But, like, to me, that's just a starving for attention. You know, and what it does, when I think the intention is exactly what we're saying, social envy. I want that person on the other side viewing my timeline to think that my world is so awesome.
Right.
When in reality, it's one freaking second in my life, and the rest of my life sucks.
Yeah.
So I got to post 1,000 great images that equate to maybe 10 minutes of my entire 12-hour day that my life is actually as good as I'm perceiving it to be.
And then are you overdoing it as parents too, saying, okay, here's me taking my kids to a Santa Claus function or a Navy pier or wherever it might be.
Yeah.
And then somebody else saying, oh God, I don't do enough for my kids. I need to be.
Totally.
You know, so it's maybe making us doubt ourselves a little too much.
Yeah, I think that it definitely does. It creates more and more envy. It creates more and more lack in that person, in my opinion, where, like I mentioned earlier in the show, the mom's sitting home with the 3 or 5 kids who would love to be at Navy Pier, but mm-hmm. A, maybe can't afford it.
Exactly.
Or their schedule doesn't permit it, but yet they're envious, they're angry. Then that results in them maybe taking out on the kids and their husband. And
sure.
It creates a lot. I think it's a detrimental thing, in my opinion.
Or maybe accusing their friend of bragging.
Totally.
You know, like internet bragging. 312-981-7200 is our number. Let's go to Robert, who has a question about podcasting.
Hey, good morning, or good afternoon, I guess. I'm just very curious, and this has always intrigued me. You know, the space of podcasting is so big, and I could turn on and I enjoy them, but there's thousands of them. And I was telling your producer, if I'm not Carson Daly, how does anybody make money, or is it a career podcasting? How does anybody actually truly, pay themselves And is it a career doing podcasting, given the number that are out there?
That's a great question.
Well, Robert, in my opinion, in my experience, there is ways to make money on it. You're right. There's only a handful of real big standouts like Joe Rogan, like Carson Daly, Tim Ferriss, all these guys that have, you know, 90 million downloads a month. Right. On their content. There's a couple things that you could do that could help you stand out. One is frequency of content, right? How often are you podcasting? And then with that, once you have a finished podcast, how are you promoting it? How are you marketing it? There is agencies out there that if you have a good enough spiel and your topics are great and it resonates with, you know, even your core audience of 100 people, you can actually partner with these companies. They'll help distribute with you, or you can go on a like Blog Talk Radio, for instance, does like these kind of partner programs where, you know, they'll take on a podcast and then for a certain fee they'll promote it and push it out to their various, you know, outlets. So there's ways to grow it. It helps if you get a brand to sponsor. That's how a lot of low levels making money, because the fact of the matter is we live in a content world, right? Every company, every business, every station, they all need massive amounts of content on a very frequent basis. So if you are able to find a topic, first of all, it's got to be something you're authentically passionate about, right? What are you passionate about?
Oh, no, you know, I wasn't thinking of launching a podcast.
Okay.
It's just a matter of, as you were saying, you know, you have to have content and distribution. But again, if I'm someone just in my basement, or even if I'm, a mid-level person, I'm just curious.
Sure.
Is somebody, in fact, supporting themselves doing podcasting, or is it simply a hobby for them?
I think for some it is a hobby, and I think for others it can be a career, depending, Robert. Like Frank said, how many people are following you? How many people are downloading you? Because there are radio hosts in this town, and former radio hosts too, who are extremely successful with podcasting because people subscribe to that.
Right.
So the business side of it.
Yeah. And I was going to say the subscription model seems to be something that has worked for some radio hosts, and I've heard them. I actually just enjoy following the space of media, and that's why I was just curious as to whether or not if it's a $20,000 hobby or if it's a $200,000 career for everybody else.
Well, I mean,
good point.
Technology made it easy for people to go out and buy a microphone, to connect it to your computer, to be able to instantly upload it to a Spotify or an iTunes.
Sure.
And anybody could literally have a podcast for a very inexpensive price, you know, even for a couple hundred bucks, for under $500, you could have your own studio and be podcasting. I will say this, if anyone's thinking about doing it, the things that have risen to the surface is when you hyper focus on a specific category, like I'm a knitter and I knit stuff, and that's all I'm going to talk about is knitting this quilt. Believe it or not, those hyper-focused topics end up gaining an audience, and it's like a wave. It just starts going and going and going. Mm-hmm. It may take a year, it may take five, but if you stick to your topic, it's going to eventually, people will find you.
So just, and again, I don't want to drag this on too long. So is podcasting almost as like traditional radio? You were saying somebody to come in and actually sponsor. Maybe you don't have 20 commercials an hour, but maybe you have somebody paying you for a sponsorship of your podcast, so it's just one sponsor?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Yes. And it's usually in the form of reads, like where, like a lot of, like if you listen to Joe Rogan's podcast, he'll open the show with like three or four sponsors in a very natural way. It's like how Andre and I would do a read about a sponsor here. They're doing it at the top of the show, and then they get into their shows.
Right. And there won't be as many interruptions.
And you know what? And that's kind of, I think, you know, we kind of came back to something you said earlier. Podcasting almost seems to be the same thing as radio, because you have to figure out a revenue model.
It does.
To make the podcast work.
That's right. Yeah. So start it up, Robert. We'll be your first two followers.
Sounds great.
Thank you so much. We'll have more with Frank Fontana and me, Andrea Darlis. We're in for Bill and Wendy after this on 720 WGN.
I like this song. I could just listen to this all morning.
312-981-7200 is our phone line here and our text line. Frank Fontana and Andrea Darlis in for Bill and Wendy. The 219 Frank says, I love WGN and podcasts. It's like hanging out with a friend or taking a class while I do chores. You don't have to be sitting in front of the TV. And then from the 708, I've been a lifelong listener to live radio and WGN and with podcasting. I'm now able to catch up on programs and topics. So thank you, Sue,
That's
for
awesome.
That as well. Yeah. And then someone else, I asked earlier, I wanted to talk to a human at Google, and they said, hey, Andrew, if you want to get in touch, talk to a customer service representative of a company like Google, just Google get human. At Google.
Interesting. This must be new.
Thank you, Romy. I appreciate it.
Probably after
that.
All the lawsuits they're getting right now, they probably figure maybe it's a good idea we put some kind of line up.
I know. They're probably laughing as I'm typing in, hey, yeah. Google, how do I speak to you?
And your human's actually going to be an automated robot behind.
Yeah, right. Click here. I am not a robot. We're talking about social media envy, too. This is a good one. From the 630, when your friends who are retired, they post all their fun things that they do during the day, and I'm still working.
I know. It's tough. I mean, a lot of that self-checking, you know, you got to check yourself to say, why am I jealous? Why am I envious? All this stuff going on there. But it's a real thing, man. It's like watching TV and you're watching Lifestyles of Rich and Famous and you're like, why me? Why don't I have that life?
Oh, I know.
You know?
I know. Do you watch those shows?
I do.
I know they're still on.
Yeah. I mean, in different forms I do. And I less envy. I mean, of course, everyone's like, God, I mean, I'd love to be a gazillionaire and like have yachts and boats and planes and all that kind of stuff. But then, you know, it's like, all right, realistically, that doesn't mean the person's happy. It doesn't mean that they have this, you know, the greatest life in the world just because they can afford all that stuff.
Is it we tell ourselves too?
Totally.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's my self-talk.
Who said, was it Ella Fitzgerald? She said, I've been rich and I've been poor. And rich is better.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
We'll have more after this on 720 WGN.
Hey, when we come back from this news break, we're going to be continue the conversation on social envy. Do you or do you know anybody who just can't stand to see other people's timelines and them happy and doing stuff? Does it cause you anxiety? And do you wish to be that person? Do you wish you're somebody else because you're watching social media and you think your life sucks?
Or when you're someone in your family says, well, how come their daughter's doing that and you're not?
Yeah, or the best is like,
and I'm not projecting any images, of course.
No, definitely not
of my own.
Real quick, like I love the story of like, hey, that person owes me like $200, but yet they're out every night at the clubs and restaurants eating like a king.
Again, I've seen that as well.
I'd love to talk about that. 312-981-7200. When we come back, right now, let's get a little update on the news with Ryan Burrow. Talking social envy, Andrea Darlis, Frank Fontana, filling in for Bill Wendy. We're chilling right now on social media, looking at us.
Yeah, and before noon, Frank, we have another pair of tickets to give away to see the Blackhawks play the Bruins in the Winter Classic at Notre Dame Stadium this New Year's Day in just a few minutes. Not now, but we'll finish up our conversation on social media envy. But before noon, we'll be giving those away. So
let's think of something fun to give
listening.
Away with.
Yeah.
Come on with it. And we got some callers hanging on for. Let's grab Anna, who has an opinion on social media envy. Hey, Anna, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. So talk to us.
Sorry, go ahead.
I said talk to us. I'd love to hear your opinion on the whole topic of social media envy.
Well, I just wanted to call in because, okay, I'm 17. And so obviously I've grown up with social media. I've had an Instagram account since I was like 10 or 11.
Wow.
And it's just one of those things where like, while I understand social media, what me and my friends say is it's just bragging that no one can call you out for, you know, because you post pictures, obviously, of things that you're like, oh, see, I'm great. Like,
yeah.
You know, you're not going to post a picture of, like, you picking up dog poop and being like, oh, my gosh, I'm so cool.
Right.
You know, you post pictures of, like, you at Disney World or you meet a, like, famous person. You're like, oh, my gosh, I'm awesome. You know, but on the same hand, I think everyone just needs to kind of understand that that's what social media is. So I feel like it's a little controversial. Not controversial, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of wrong to, like, hate on people, I guess you could say, for posting that stuff, because it's kind of what you signed up for when you sign up for social media, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Well, you sound a lot older. I just mean mentally. Than 17, because that's a really, really good point, Anna, when
totally.
You're looking at all these things online.
And Anna, I get where you're coming from. Like, in my position, because I consult with people all day long about what to post, how to post, with my creative agency. And I understand your world is built on this. This is what you know. But, you know, there's recently, I read a quote from a social media influencer said, you know, people like you, Anna, 17 to 13, all are being influenced by social media, right? So as our job as influencers, we need to do a better job about what content we're putting out there for people like you and everyone else to consume. Because, you know, listen, I live this too. I research all the hottest sites that come up, all the hottest posts, all everything that's trending. I'm on top of it. Trust me. All this, like, you know, College Row stuff, all this, you know, it's insanity what, you know, just today I posted something, and I don't even know if you know who Eckhart Tolle is. He's an author, Power of Now. He posted this profound statement that got like 14,000 likes. And then, you know, you go on over to like these College Row, you know, Instagram accounts that have like a gazillion million people following. And, you know, the picture of a kid smashing, you know, a beer can on his head has 10 million likes.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like that's what I'm talking about. And when it comes to the, you know, the I understand your world is built on social. Like, you're going to grow up. My kids are going to grow up. It's going to be such a normal thing. God, I hope for them it cycles back to Main Street. But it's not going to. I'm not naive to the idea that social media is the world. What I'm just saying is that it also is, there's a tremendous amount of dysfunction that comes from it. And if you could be honest with yourself, Anna, did you ever see in a timeline of somebody else that you know or don't know, or Kardashian or anybody, and say, damn, I wish I was that?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, all the time. I have one of my friends that goes to my school. She's super nice, but she's a model for Instagram. And so, you know, even when you look at like ratios, you know, if you have like 500 followers, and you know, so I have what, 640 followers, and you know, all my following has to be lower than that. Like, it's very uncool if it's like, oh, I'm following 600 people, but I only have 400 followers.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you can't go follow for follow, because
exactly.
Then you're exposed. Right.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, like, and that's, I'm not a social media influencer, you know, I'm a normal 17-year-old. But I mean, I would say, kind of as far as like parents go and stuff, you know, my parents were, they're still very strict about like my social media and how much time I spend on it. I mean, and I'm almost an adult, you know, and they're like, okay, you can spend like 20 minutes on it, like a day, you know, but you can't, you know, they set time limits on my phone. They're like, you're not going to spend your whole day just looking at it. Because I don't think it's healthy for you. I mean, it's a little bit like looking at a fashion magazine all the time and being like, oh my gosh, I wish I looked like a Victoria's Secret model.
Yep.
Well, you can like eat and diet all you want, but like, that's just not necessarily how you're built. You know, so I feel like you also have to self-monitor, which is super difficult, especially because it's constantly being thrown in your face. But you really have to be good about it, because otherwise you're going to drive yourself crazy being like, oh my gosh, I should be doing this, or I should be doing this, you know, or I should look like that. But in reality, you know, that's not real life. It's not their real life. You know, the Kardashians, they have unglamorous parts of their life, just like we do. And it's just, it's not Instagrammed. So I think that's the important thing that I feel like kids my age have to keep in mind.
I think it's a great point. I want you to hold on, Anna, because we're going to give you a Lumel Nadi's pizza gift card for your comments. And thanks for joining us, too, because you made some great points. Really.
Yes.
You want to post something for you. And you know what? My mom and I went and did this great thing, and we're going to put it on Facebook. And then I don't ever intentionally post something and think, oh, maybe people will see this and be jealous, you know? And I think most of us, just human nature, are like that. I don't think we're going to post something just to make others jealous or envious.
Definitely.
We have to get like in our own headspace and say, you know what? That's great that Frank and his wife went, and you know, they're in Bali and I'm stuck here in Chicago.
But does it matter to you, Andrea, how many people like your picture? I mean, you could say no, but are you checking to see, oh, this was a really good picture, I want to see how many likes I get from this?
I absolutely am. I don't constantly check, Ryan. That's a great question. It's not like I'm looking for that, but if I have 100 likes, I'm thinking, oh, that's cool. Oh, wow.
Nailed it.
That.
Good job.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And remember too, guys, a lot of people use social media. I mean, Elon Musk said in an interview on 60 Minutes, he sees social media as a battleground. This is where he's gonna, you know, spit out whatever he wants, and you know,
just, like,
whoever,
just like our president,
yeah, I mean, to hell with whoever doesn't like
go.
It. This,
yeah.
Is,
yeah.
This is a battleground, so you have to kind of factor that in. All of a sudden, your newsfeed has happy pictures, but it's also got people who are using this as a way to, you know,
as
spit
a tool.
Out whatever it is they want
as
yeah.
a tool. Absolutely,
it just goes back to my statement: if you're gonna influence, choose wisely in what you're influencing.
There you
know,
go.
Because people are watching, people are listening. And I will say this: recently, I read an article where somebody asked a group of young people to say, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know what they said? Famous.
See, there you
Insta-famous.
Go.
Insta-famous. Everybody today wants to be, like this girl Anna said, a social media model.
Right.
Or they see the vacation Instagrammers who are like the young couples at their prime traveling to Bali and Indonesia and getting paid for it.
Yeah.
So in their mind, that's like, folks, that's a 0.1% of what you see on the internet to actually get those opportunities.
It's not real life. It's not real life.
But isn't that similar to flashback 10 years ago? People who want to go to Hollywood, people who want to become professional athletes. I want to be famous.
Yes.
I mean,
definitely.
It's just, I guess it's just kind of morphed. It's no longer based in Nashville.
It's morphed at mass.
Yeah,
it's morphed at mass.
It is true.
It's scale, man. Internet created scale at a ridiculous pace.
Oh, totally. It totally did. We have another call. Doris, I think, kind of ties it all up for us in a neat little bow. Hey, Doris.
Yes, I'm sorry. This is such a subject that I could go on for hours. I'm
so
a grandma. I'm 80 years old. I raised four kids. I have eight grandchildren. I am so afraid for this generation. I think I don't know how we can fix it. And I had an idea, and I don't know how it would work. If these were my kids, I would have them have a phone. Why would you hand this instrument to a kid and let them have the whole world?
Yeah,
I don't get it.
I have two young kids.
My kids would only be able to use it for 2 hours a day. Their phone would be available at all times to call for help if they need it.
Right.
But the internet would be available for 2 hours a day, and they'd have to do it right in the house where we can see what they're looking at. You didn't give them all these magazines that they used to try to hide under their mattress, which was kind of cute. But this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a lot. It's a lot going on.
I'm just so sorry for them. Last year at Christmas, I have three grandchildren from ages, at that point, 13 to 9. And we have such a good time at over there for Christmas. They each got a phone. All of a sudden, it was dead silence, and they were all gone.
Mm.
And I think them again for the rest of the visit.
That was their plan, though, Doris. I get your point, though.
Hey, Doris, quickly, and then we got to take a break here. My dad, I had a great conversation about him with this yesterday, and he had two good ideas. Like, Frank, we should open up a farm, a recovery addiction farm for people with phone addiction and social media addiction. And I said, Dad, that's a great idea. And he said, the second thing is he's going to buy my sister, because my nephew is like terribly addicted to it. There's a device that you could buy that literally controls every single device in your house and your phone, that you can hit a button and shuts it off.
Really?
Like, shuts off the ability to go on the internet.
Like the one giant off button.
Like an off button. Yeah. Boom. And
there
then it's
you
like.
Go. That's what I'm talking about.
Doris, that's the power you need in your house.
There you go, Doris.
It would. Well, thank you for letting. Because I just say this to everybody who is within arms, and they're so tired of me saying this.
Don't stop saying it. But understand. But understand within that, life happens and evolution happens, and this too will. I'm not going to say pass, but level out and expose itself to what it is.
I hope so.
I think
it
will.
I'm so sad for them.
We're all consumed in it right now. We'll have this conversation. We'll call you in 5 years, Doris.
Thank you.
God willing.
You bet. Happy New Year.
I listen to you all the time. And the previous girl was exactly right. And I didn't hear everything because I was waiting, but everything she said that I heard was right.
Wasn't she great? Right. 17 years old. So there's hope, Doris. We're all good.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Happy New Year. It's Andrea Darlis, Frank Fontana, in for Bill and Wendy. More of your phone calls. And after the break, we are going to give away another pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks play the Boston Bruins in the Winter Classic. It's all on WGN.
Welcome back to the Bill and Wendy Show. Andrea and I are holding it down.
Yeah.
The dynamic duo talking about social envy, the impact of, what everyone talks about, social media and kids today.
But we're getting some great calls, too.
Great calls, great texts. And we understand that technology is the future. We totally get it. And I'm not opposed to it at all. I guess, this texture right now, 8 from the 815, the technology is the future, like it or not. If we want our children to succeed in life, they will need to be able to navigate through it. As parents, we need to teach them how to be responsible. That's the bottom line there, is at the end of the day, just like any other issue out there, it starts at home.
Absolutely, it is. Let's take one more call here from Kathy. Kathy, you're reading a book basically about this, huh?
Good morning. I am. It's called, it's a New York Times bestseller, Reclaiming Conversation, The Power of Talk in a Digital Age by Sherry Turkle. And this particular woman has been studying the relationship of people with technology for over 30 years. And I've only gotten into the beginning of the book, and she was called into Holbrook Middle School somewhere out east to talk with the faculty and go on a retreat with them because they are worried that the students are not developing empathy. They said they are not developing that way of relating where they listen and learn how to look at each other and hear each other. Mm. And that, you know, when there are issues of social outcasting, that some of the kids say, I have no feelings about that. They don't read the other person whose feelings are so hurt. And she says that real people with their unpredictable ways can seem difficult for youngsters to contend with after they've been spending stretches in simulation where it kind of all works out the way they want in the end. So it's kind of an interesting premise, and I am in education, and I know that we are using one-to-one devices and all kinds of things, but we've been having these conversations as well. So I think it's up to all of us to encourage one another.
I agree.
To keep talking. You know, she's saying just converse. In addition to using your devices, we need to talk to each other some more. So I think it's probably a really good point. I hadn't thought about it.
With the devices not in hand, have that conversation
exactly,
with the phones turned
yeah.
over.
Correct.
Right.
She's saying the minute there's a device on the table, the conversation ceases because people grab their phones. We've been to restaurants and we see a whole family and no one's talking. They're all looking at their device.
Right. Or like it's Ryan like, said oh on the train. God. I mean, and I know that's more of a, you know, it's just kind of you and yourself and your thoughts.
Killing time type of thing.
But yeah, even
right.
people who are sitting with each other at a social event, they're at a sporting event, they're on their phone.
Or a date, even worse, on a date.
On a date, I know, right? Hey, Kathy, what's the name of the book?
The name is called Reclaiming Conversation, The Power of Talk in a Digital Age.
Okay.
And the author is Sherry Turkle. I think it's a good read. I mean, I've just opened it and started reading it yesterday, and I'm kind of really drawn to it. I think people would enjoy it. It's not real. It's not a lot of techno speak. It's really about people. I think people would enjoy the book.
My kids are 4 and 7, and my 7-year-old, you know, is getting into games, and you know, he wants to be on it more than my daughter. But my daughter's seeing, you know, TV, Disney Channel, all these girl, you know, young girls have phones, and they're so she's like taking one of my old phones that doesn't even work. It's not,
right,
even, not even charged, and just playing with it.
Yeah,
and I get, you know, I get a little frustrated. Mm-hmm. But what my technique is, like, I don't give it. You know, I give it my son minimally, like maybe in a whole day he's on it for an hour. Maybe. And that's big.
And that's perfect, yeah.
And now what we do is when I go to Starbucks with them or I'm out and about and we're in a room, like you just described, with mm-hmm. everybody's heads down on a phone, I will literally get their attention and say, look around the room, guys. You see this? This will never happen to you guys.
No.
You are not going to do this. You're not going to be, because what they're doing is melting their brain, I tell them.
Yeah.
So remember the old commercial where the eggs were frying in the pan? Drugs? This is your brain on drugs.
This is your brain on drugs.
That's
yep,
what phones
exactly.
are today. Phones are the egg commercial of the 80s.
That's so true. Hey, Kathy, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Andrea. It's a pleasure to hear you back. Frankly, always enjoy your program.
Thank you.
You too. Thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year to you. 312-981-7200. Right now, Frank and I are going to take care of a little bit of business before we come back and hand things over to the noon business hour. But first, a seventh caller. Right now, if you can go to see the Blackhawks play the Boston Bruins in the Winter Classic at Notre Dame Stadium on New Year's Day, you have to be able to go. We will give you a pair of great seats to see this legendary game, Blackhawks and the Bruins, on New Year's Day at Notre Dame Stadium. Seventh caller right now.
I'm going. You going?
I'm going.
We'll be there.
720 WGN.